And I was listening to a man tell the story the other day of his little boy. The little boy was over on the table and he was drawing and writing and drawing. And he stopped and he said, "Dad, how do you spell God?" And the little boy just made his daddy's heart just swell with pride. And he thought, what a wonder. He's on his own. He's drawing and he wants to spell God. I must have done something right. I've taught him well. He is spiritually taking hold. And so he says, "You spell God, G-O-D. Very carefully, he wrote those letters down. And in just a minute, he said, "Dad, how do you spell Zilla?" You know, sometimes we don't end up where we want to be. So he got Godzilla instead of God. But that was, I'll bring you along if you don't get it. Just hang in there. Sometimes we miss some things that are so obvious. And I guess one of the things that I want to talk about today is that Jesus welcomes sinners. And we don't like the word sinners. We chafe at it. But you know, we're all sinners, for we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us has sinned. If we're all guilty of sin, that means we're sinners. Now, we can be redeemed, and Jesus wants to do that. And that's really what the lesson's about. We're going to be spending a lot of time in Luke 15. If you've got your Bibles there, we'll go back and forth between the very familiar passages throughout this chapter. But I want you to look again at those first couple of verses in the chapter where the Pharisees and the teachers of the law begin to complain about Jesus when they looked and they saw who he was. And they said, "Look, this man welcomes sinners and he even eats with them." Sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll fall into that trap of forgetting that that's exactly who we were without the blood of Christ. And that's exactly who Jesus died for. And that's why Jesus came into the world and Jesus gave his life to redeem those who are lost in sin, and that's every one of us. And so to look down our noses is the wrong direction to be in the first place. You see, we ought to be about seeking and saving the lost. And so if you will, look at Luke chapter 15 with me as we look at the types of people who are lost. The word lost is just another word for sinner. I don't think everybody fits into the same category about much of anything, but in this case, I think it's especially true. And when you look at the areas where Jesus tells this parable, he identifies at least four different types of people that I want to talk about. If you look at that first section, verses 1 through 7, it's the one that we just read. We're talking about the lost sheep. And you remember the story of how Jesus leaves the 99. The song is wrong, by the way. Y'all know the song's wrong, don't you? There were 90 and 9 who safely lay in the shelter of the fold. That's not right. The 90 and 9 were out in the desert. But he left those, whether they were in the fold or the desert. The idea is one sheep was important enough when he got lost. And our idea here of lost is separation. And Isaiah says that it's our sins and our iniquities that separate us from God. And so when we're talking about loss and separation and sin, it all is kind of a metaphor for the same thing. I want to tell you that I believe that this sheep in Jesus' story was given very purposefully, as everything he ever said, because this sheep was lost by ignorance. Sheep are not the smartest of all the animals, I'm told. They're herded from place to place. They're pushed and shoved and sent the way that they want to go. But the point is here that there are some people who just don't know about Jesus. And it's easy to wander off and get lost sometimes. How many of y'all have ever got lost in a store? I'm thinking about putting GPS on my wife every time we go into anything bigger than a convenience store. I know she's not lost, but I can't find her a whole lot of times, so maybe I'm the one that's lost. I just wander off, I look, looking at something, and she turns the corner, and then she's gone, and it's not that I want to lose her, I like her. I want her to go home with me, I want to be there together, but it doesn't take long for me to get lost in a store, much less the world. And I think that this sheep just wandered off, just went off by itself, and he missed that everybody else turned and went the other way, and he was just a lost sheep. But you see, the tax collectors in our story just kind of put everybody in one lump sum. So I want you to think about the lost sheep as a metaphor for those who are lost ignorantly or accidentally. They didn't intend to be lost. But if you jump down to verse 8 and continue the reading with verses 8 through 10, Jesus said, "What woman that having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light the light and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, She calls her friends and neighbors and saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is somebody that misplaced something. Now, you should understand in the context of the story, it's generally believed that this is not just her pocket change. This is not just what she came home after the store and put on the counter. This is probably has to do with her wedding. Her wedding coins, they were precious. They were saved up all of her life. They had special meaning and value to her. And she lost one. Think of losing your engagement ring. I guess that's maybe the way to lose this coin as far as she is concerned. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot, so y'all just kind of give a little half smile and I'll know who this has happened to. How many of you have ever misplaced your engagement ring? Your heart kind of stops a little bit. And you think, where's the last place I had that engagement ring? And was it on the sink? Did it fall down? Where could it be? I can't tell him I've lost the engagement ring. And you look everywhere to try to find the engagement. That's kind of what's going on here, that accidentally the ring is lost. Now, go back to the value of the coin. The coin in the parable still has its monetary value, but it's out of circulation. If you've got a $100 bill and you lose it, can you spend it? The answer is no, you can't spend it. Why? Because you've lost it. You misplaced it. You forgot where it was. And there are some people who are just out of service. But if they're out of service, they're lost. Jesus is telling four parables about the same thing, about one who is lost. There's a sheep that's lost. Now there's a coin that's lost. And it's out of circulation. It's out of service. But probably the one that we remember the most is when he talks about the lost son. And I'll make that plural, the lost sons. You know the story as the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, and I'll, for time's sake, try to just remind you of its own. The prodigal son, the one that we think of all the time, is the one who went to his father and said, give me that portion of the inheritance that's mine, and went off and he wasted his living in riotous living. He went out, he partied all the time, and all the money was gone, and he went into a far country, and he finally got to the place where he had nothing left, and he was ready to eat. Well, actually, he joined himself to a pig farmer, and he became the caretaker of the pigs. Now, remember, this is a Jewish story told in Jewish society, and the pigs are unclean animals. And so what you have here is the lowest of the low, the job that nobody wants, a job that no Jewish man would even consider that he might have. But he was so low that the Bible says that he wished he could have eaten the pig food. He would have liked to move the hogs over and gone to the trough, if you will. You see, I think this story of this lost son is one who was intentionally lost. He pulled up himself. He said, Daddy, I don't need you anymore. I'm going to go out on my own. I want to have fun. I don't care what else is out there. I'm going to leave, and I don't care who has anything to say about it. I'm going to have a good time until the money ran out. And then he ended up on the bottom of the bottom. You see, I think there are a lot of people who live in open rebellion to Christ just like that today. I think one of the hardest things in my life has been to watch young people grow up in Christian homes, become Christians, serve the Lord, and fall away. I can't tell you how many times my heart breaks when I'll run into somebody that I knew as a teenager, that I knew in a former place in their life, as a young adult, as a young father or mother, and they love the Lord and they want to do what's right and problems come or whatever and they turn away from the Lord and now they're living in open rebellion to Christ and His church and they don't even acknowledge Jesus and sometimes profess atheism instead of faith. And all of the things that once meant something mean nothing. That's what I see when I see this son. This one that allowed things to pull him away. But I said there are two sons, and I believe that we do a great disservice to read this story as one prodigal son. There really should be an S on that every time we say it, because you remember the story, how that eventually the prodigal comes to himself and he says, even the hired servants in my father's house are better than I. I will rise and go to my father. I will rise and say that I've sinned, and I'll go to my father and say, I've sinned against thee. I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He knew things were better at home when it got far enough down in the bottom of the barrel. And he gets up and he goes, and one of the interesting things in that story is that the father, while he's yet afar off, sees him coming. And I've always suspected he looked for him every day. And he prayed for him every day. And while he was yet afar off, he ran to him, and he falls on him, and he kisses him, and he calls for the robe, and he calls for the ring, and he calls for him to be restored. And before he starts, gets very far in that speech at all about, Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee, I'm no longer. He said, stop, you are my son. He tells his servant, go prepare the fatted calf and get everything ready, and the music and the party, and it's going on. And the older brother, the other brother. You know, a lot of people don't see him as lost, but he is. And his rebellion is a different type of rebellion. His rebellion is refusing to accept what God accepts. He's not far from the Pharisees that began this whole story. The ones that says, look, he entertains and he even eats with the sinners. This older brother, who some say, and I've actually heard people say, he was the good son. He stayed with his father. He was faithful to his father. And all of that's true. In fact, it does not change the fact that the father and the son have this discussion, and the father says, everything that I have is yours. There's nothing left to give this brother that left, this son of mine that left. He's used his. It's all you stayed here. But the saddest part of this story at all may be found in verse 28. For in verse 28, the Bible says that this older son was very angry, and he wouldn't go into the party. He wouldn't go into his brother. How many people are going to let prejudice and anger and self-importance keep them out of the celebration of heaven? He said, I'm not going with him. He wasted. How can you even call him a son? How can you not call him a son? People see the big picture. We're the lost. We're the ones that he's talking about here. And for us to sit piously and righteously and mightily back in the back and say, you can't come in because I'm good and you're not, is blasphemy. For no one promoted you or I to the level of God or of judge. And so whether it's a sheep, a coin, a rebellious son, or a self-righteous son, we've got a problem. For all these people are lost. It's not an accident that it's in the context of Jesus saying, the Pharisees and the scribes are saying, look, you're dealing with sinners. You're even eating with them. How could you do that? Jesus is saying, open your eyes. Everybody falls into that category. There are different ways that man becomes lost. Some people are confused. Some people are ignorant, not by their choice. They just don't know any better. Some people are angry. Some people are hurting. Some people are in rebellion. Some people have lost everything. Some people have found too much. And so let's look at these lost boys for a minute. These sons. Both of them are guilty of saying, I want it my way and my way only. Father, give me that portion which falls to me. I guess it was the way I was raised. I can't ever imagine my father and I having a conversation before he died where I went up to him and said, Dad, listen, I know you're going to die. I'd like to get the insurance money now. Are you going to leave me that car? How much of the house do I get? Can you imagine this conversation? Maybe it's just time and whatever. I don't know how it goes. But this boy came to his father and boldly said, you give me what I've got coming to me. I've been here long enough. I'm ready to go on my own and I'm out of here. And he blew it. The older son, the one that stayed there, the one that got everything, he got his feelings hurt. Did you notice the similarity in this story? When the younger son came back, the father went to meet him. When the older son refused to come into the party, the father went to meet him. God is doing everything he can to get us back where he is, even when we are wrong. Both were wrong. There's enough sin to go around that everybody gets a piece of these sons. Both sons get a piece of it. It's the father who goes out and says, I don't want you lost. I don't want you estranged. I don't want you outside the house. I want you in the party. I want you in the celebration. Neither of these sons set out to hurt their father, but both did. Just as we do when we turn against God for whatever reason. But let's look at the lost sheep again. He just strayed away. He didn't mean to. I talked a minute ago about losing my wife in the store. I hate to admit this because some of y'all may send me away. I also lose my car in the parking lot. I'm convinced they have somebody hired down at the local Walmart, and y'all can tell me if this is right or not. Walmart is our mall here. That's why I use that as the illustration. You know that guy that picks up the buggies out there? I think they give him keys to all the cars and gets him to go move them around in the parking lot. Y'all ever notice that? I walk up and down the aisles, and when people look at me, I say, it's for my health. I don't say it's for my mental health, but it's for my health. I'm looking. It's easy to stray off course. And this sheep did it without knowing. Hebrews 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels provides to prove steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just reward, it's easy to drift away. You do it and I do it. It happens. We have to make a concentrated effort to stay on target. Luke chapter 8 and verse 13 continues the story where he's talking about this farmer who sows seed. He talks about those on the rocks who, when they hear and receive the word, the seed falls on those hard hearts. Receive the word with joy, and they have no root, and they believe for a while, and time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell away among the thorns are those who have heard and go out and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life that bring no fruit to maturity. That's what gets us off course, isn't it? The cares of this life, the problems of this life, the family problems, the financial problems, the spiritual problems, the drug problems, whatever problems it might be. It chokes out Christ, and nobody starts off wanting to lose Christ, but it happens. So I think there are some that are just like that sheep that just kind of wanders away. But there are also some people out in the world who are like that coin, who through no fault of their own are lost. The coin was not careless, you see. The coin did not move itself. The coin did not stray. The coin did not get lost somewhere. This is a coin that got misplaced by the owner of the coin, the lady. I think about those people who grew up in godless homes. It's not their fault, is it? Almost 15 years ago, we were holding vacation Bible school. That year, David and Goliath was the story because I remember over here, somebody had found a cutout of Shaquille O'Neal. I think it was at a sneaker store. They brought in Shaquille O'Neal over here and they dressed him in armor. He was our giant that year. He had a sword, not a basketball, but he was over here. And I would come over here and I would say, David's down there and the giant's up here. And I had this little boy come to me. He lived about two blocks from here. And he said, I've never heard that story before. Who hasn't heard of David and Goliath? People within walking distance of this building. And if they hadn't heard of David and Goliath, they don't know about the cross either. But it's not their fault. I feel sorry, and some of the teachers may disagree with me and straighten me out on this. I feel sorry for students who show up without parents who help. They don't have supplies because parents don't get it for them. I know there are plenty that need to be doing their own and be responsible, but if nobody's getting them to school, if they're late every day, they're the children. And I think there are people who are lost because nobody has told them about Jesus, and that puts the responsibility upon God's people to reach out and reach the lost. In 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 9, the verse is still true where God says through Peter's pen, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but He's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, God wants everybody to be saved, not anybody to be lost. And it doesn't matter if it's their fault or not, there's still people who are going to be lost because they never knew. There's some people who are going to get turned on the wrong path and end up in the wrong place. But Jesus still cries out to His people to go into all the world and teach the gospel to every creature. Let me just finish with a couple of thoughts about Jesus' attitude towards the lost. How Jesus feels about sinners that others would send away. That the scribes and the Pharisees made fun of Jesus because He dealt with them and He even ate with them. It's over in Galatians 2 and verse 19 that Paul is writing, where he said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. Life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Listen, here's the key. The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's how Jesus feels about you today. He loved me and He gave Himself for me. Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, when he talks about the Lord's not slack, listen to the last part of that. He's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the stance of God. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. He wants everybody to be saved. How does Jesus feel about sinners? He loves them. He wants them to be saved. Doesn't love the sin. Doesn't want them to continue in sin. Doesn't want them to be lost forever. He wants the sin to be washed away and you to be raised to walk in newness of life and to have a fresh start and to be His child, to proclaim His word to the world. And it may be that this morning there's some here who are ready to make that decision. We've been blessed in the last few weeks to watch a number of people put on Christ. It could be that today there's someone here who's ready to make that step, to make the good confession that Jesus is the Christ, and to take that faith that led him to the confession and say, I'm going to change my way of living, and I'm going to be born again of the water and the Spirit, baptized into Christ, raised to walk with all those sins washed away in a brand new life, and follow Christ, and to be faithful that heaven can be my home. And maybe you've done that and you haven't been faithful. You can come home. Remember, he's not willing that any should perish. I don't care how you got separated from God. I want you to know that he wants you to be reunited. And that's what this invitation song is. It's an encouragement for you to be reunited to the Savior, that heaven can be your home. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?